Hello and welcome to another edition of Incredible Critics. Incredible, not because we're great, but much like the plot device behind Batman v Superman, our credibility is seriously in question. Pete, Joe, welcome back again to this special edition of Incredible Critics, where we're discussing the DC Cinematic Universe. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing fantastic. As good as one can be before talking about Batman v Superman. How you doing, Pete?
I'm excited.
I guess I shouldn't make any too quick judgments too early before we even get into our discussion. But yeah, so like last time, we talked about the things we loved and didn't love about Man of Steel. We're returning again to bore your brains with Batman v Superman, a movie that I had low expectations for and yet still was let down. But like Joe and I have talked about many times before, there's a good movie in here somewhere, and maybe Pete can help us dig it out.
Oh, I will.
So I guess let's start with our quick overall thoughts of the film. So Batman v Superman.
If you want to just say BVS or a remainder of...
Yeah, let's just say BVS. Yes.
Or Dawn of Martha.
Dawn of Martha.
So BVS, I didn't even give it the shot in theaters, I don't think. I don't remember seeing this one in theaters. I think I waited for this to come out.
No, Andrew, we saw it together. It was like you, me, Nate, Josh.
That's how forgettable it was.
Exactly. Nate fell asleep through it, so that's how much he loved it.
Wow. So this movie was reported to be, you know, another big hit. DC's hope to rival that of the Avengers. And that, I think, is kind of where it falls flat to me because, man, this movie is a mess of trying to throw in a bunch of cool things and most of them just falling flat. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Zack Snyder is a director who knows how to create incredible moments in movies, but then tying them all together is where he seems to struggle, especially with pacing. And this movie is no exception. Visually, it's all right. It's up there for the most part. I like the aesthetic of most of the film. It definitely has a larger than life feel. The moments that are good are fantastic. But yeah, it just suffers from the classic Zack Snyder Achilles heel of pacing and trying to fit too much in too short a time. And I say that, but the movie is already almost 3 hours, and that's not including the Snyder cut.
Which we did not finish.
Which we did not finish. I never have seen the Snyder cut. I don't really care to.
You weren't there with us?
Adding more to this movie is not what's going to help it.
Wait, weren't you with us when we watched it together?
Did we watch the Snyder cut or did we watch
the... Yeah, we watched the Snyder cut.
We watched, that was the Snyder cut, yep.
Well, we okay, the Snyder cut did not help this movie at all.
We stopped after the Martha thing.
That's how little I remembered of the original movie, that I had no idea I was even watching the Snyder cut when we watched it last for our movie night. Joe, I've said enough in my on my own. What do you think?
I remember when this movie was going through its marketing phase, and I think there was a second trailer that came out, and I remember it kind of having this tone of like this really underlying seriousness that kind of got me hyped for it. You see it pan down to the courthouse, you see Superman walking into the courthouse, and Mrs. Granny's Peach Tea is asking Superman all these questions, and I was like, oh man, this could be good. But I remember later on in the marketing phase when this is why I don't watch trailers anymore, is because of this movie. And we see Doomsday flying at the end, and then we see Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman standing there together at the end of the trailer. And I'm like, oh, so in Batman versus Superman, we already know in the trailer that they are going to get along. Mm-hmm. Big problem. So fast forward to the night that we all go. I remember there was like six of us. And I remember saying to myself, all I care about, I'll give Zack Snyder huge points if this does not start out with a Batman origin thing. And lo and behold, the opening montage is a Batman little origin story about how his parents were shot and killed. I mean, it wasn't like the full story. Like, again, Batman Begins, just kind of this montage. But still, I felt like it was unnecessary and unneeded. And then, like you've said before, Andrew, the pacing is just, it's really all off. And it's a movie that takes itself way too seriously. Like, I don't know. It's probably just a Zack Snyder thing. I really struggled with the feel of it. I thought the look of it was cool. It felt very comic booky. It felt dark and brooding, but then the script just ruins it. I remember a moment that completely took me out of the movie was when Lex Luthor is shoving a Jolly Rancher down a guy's throat. I was like, it was just so cringe. And you know, fast forward to the part that we're waiting for, where Batman and Superman are fighting, which I thought actually started out okay. There's a part, if you haven't seen the movie, that a little side plot where Superman's
takes mom, a bath fully clothed with Lois.
Yes, there's
no, not that part, sorry.
Or the part where he's making fake plastic eggs. There's that. And this movie with this huge production budget, and he's making plastic eggs, which you can clearly see. But anyway, Superman's trying to tell Batman that, hey, they took my mom, I need your help, I don't want to fight. And Batman's just beating the living daylights out of Superman. Mm-hmm. And then, as we all know, the climax ends with him saying his mom's name is Martha, and they get along and live happily ever after. And
that moment, Joe, just to interrupt you, I remember you and I looking at each other and just laughing right there in the middle of the theater, just busting up. I wasn't sure if I heard it right, but it was like, it made me laugh because I was like, I that's not really what's tying them together, is it? And then he repeats himself.
And then it was, yeah. And this movie also suffered too. Just try and wrap this up from, you know, just the constant Lois Lane plots being shoved down in our faces. I just thought that just
like the Jolly Rancher.
The Jolly Rancher, yeah. Some of the timing of where her character arc was inserted in this movie just really didn't fit. And that's part of the reason why they made the Snyder cut of this movie, was to kind of tie up some of those loose ends with Superman in the beginning, with her in the Middle Eastern country dealing with the terrorists. Anyways, after the whole Martha thing was when I checked out. The whole last fight was terrible. I thought it was horrible. The only good thing about the end of that movie was there's a little scene that Zack Snyder threw in that is from the cover of The Dark Knight Returns, where Batman is grappling off the side lightning. Of that. Yes, mm-hmm. That was the only good part of the end of that movie. And I still felt like Superman's death was anticlimactic. I don't know. I had no emotional investment in the fact that Superman died. Nothing. And I didn't feel like I had any emotional investment in the fact that these characters had all come together. It just felt forced. This to me was a DC needs to try and catch up to Marvel in world building and character building. And you can't do that in one movie or two movies. Marvel's, I think, it at that point,
rushed.
Had, yes, for Marvel at that the
movie was. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're good. I think Marvel at that point had already made 10 movies. You can't catch up in two movies, and that really just did it for me. And for me, and I mean, Andrew and I know how we both feel on this, and I think I'm gonna turn it over to Pete, who is our Zack Snyder apologist.
Okay. Oh boy, how do I follow that without sounding like a parrot? I'm just gonna talk about everything I liked. have a good night.
Play devil's advocate.
I'm scared. For us. I only feel like being his advocate when I have the energy, and tonight I'm like a little tired because it takes energy to defend this movie. And nah, I'm just kidding. So I'll touch on that final fight scene after the whole Martha thing. I honestly didn't think it was horrible. Obviously the CGI Doomsday, whatever the heck he was supposed to be, was absolute trash. But I think the concept was kind of cool. I like how Batman was playing backup like he typically does with these like supernatural beings. And the shot, the comic book shot, was amazing, even though it was like for half a second. Only if they would have kept that theme of Batman, you know, consistently in the Justice League. We're not going to get into that. But anywho, the throw-in of Wonder Woman was horrible. It's absolutely horrible. One of the worst cinematic mashups I've ever seen. The fight scene itself, I seeing Superman and Wonder Woman fight together against something was neat. The CGI wasn't horrible, but again, like you guys said, it's all about build up. There was no emotional payoff. I did not care when Superman got, RKO'd or whatever, and or killed himself. And boy, this movie—if you go into it as a comic book fan, as a lover of your hero, you're going to be sorely disappointed. If you go into this movie as like a philosopher and a man that's way too full, way too into himself, then you may love this movie because it's just from grandma's tea to all sorts of dumb philosophical phrases and exposition said by Alfred throughout the movie. Is this the movie where he goes and help me out, guys. What's that quote he says about bad men turn cruel?
Turns good men cruel.
Yeah, turns good men cruel.
The what is it? The something, the rage.
The rage that burns inside you. I will give Alfred
I
in this
don't
movie, he's a pretty good Alfred. Nothing could beat the tangerine Alfred. But the disrespect if I call him a tangerine
As
Alfred.
a Jeremy Irons, right? That played.
Jeremy Irons is, I mean, I'm a little bit of a fanboy for him. His voice is so Hollywood. His voice is just perfect in any movie.
Cinematic.
It's so cinematic the way he
Very
talks.
smooth.
Yeah, if you guys don't believe me, go watch Margin Call with him. It's about the state 2008 financial collapse, and he plays like the CEO of like this huge company, and it just he fits the role so perfectly. Like he just got that CEO energy, his voice,
I mean,
that
you tell me Jeremy
boss.
Irons in it, I'm gonna at least give it a look.
Exactly. Except unless it's BVS, there is a
Wasn't in
delete.
there to come at,
I'll
sadly.
add this in my I'll add this in my final thoughts. There is a deleted scene where Batman, excuse me, Alfred is kind of like working on some old car, and Superman shows up, like from back from the dead before the final Doomsday fight. And Alfred, have you guys seen this? I'll send it to you. It's on YouTube. Alfred walks up to Superman and goes, "You must be Master Kent," and he goes, "Yes," and blah 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 and whatever. But the way he like walks up, he's working on the car. He's got like a margarita or whatever, or some manly alcoholic drink, and some generic, yeah. And it starts shaking, and he looks up, and a Superman lands. It's really cool. Like, and then Henry Cavill's like, it was one of the scenes where he actually somewhat embodied Superman, kind of like the cool scenes in Man of Steel where he kind of embodied Superman, like the flight scene and the scene where he's fighting. Anyways, you get what I'm saying. There are certain scenes where Henry Cavill nails Superman. It's very, very hit or miss, but
And I don't think I would necessarily pin it on Henry Cavill.
no, I wasn't. I'm just saying him as Superman. And let me just finish up real quick,
Yeah,
10 more
go for it.
seconds. I was just saying, if they would have kept that energy throughout the movie, that like wholesome Alfred Master Kent, Superman energy throughout the whole movie, instead of this brooding, Superman that makes no freaking sense with a horrible villain. Oh, don't even get me started about
Jesse
freaking Jolly Rancher. Oh my lord, literally the
Eisenberg.
worst villain in all of superhero movie history. Just
Well,
straight
okay.
garbage.
Are we just gonna forget that Green Lantern exists?
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Honestly, the giant vague glob cloud of villainy was probably better served than his Lex Luthor.
Well, maybe if maybe
Dude,
only
that was
if
atrocious.
expectations were way higher
His
for
yeah, that's
Batman
true.
v
But it's
Superman.
that Lex Luthor, that was worse. I mean, that's up there with like Jared Leto Joker performance bad. Like it's bad. Like people just sleep on it because I don't know,
Maybe.
but it's freaking dog
It's
poo.
pretty bad.
Okay,
I
I'm
wouldn't
done. God, let's get into a giant fight
All
now.
right. The one thing I
Story?
thought Pete was gonna, sorry, Andrew. The one thing I thought Pete was gonna mention, I think he and I both agree on this. The one of the best parts of this movie is the Earth 2 dream sequence. where Batman's having his nightmare and he's fighting off the Superman parody.
Oh, wow, I totally forgot. That, again, 3-hour movie.
That,
man, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know, you're good. But that was, I thought, had that type of tone been kept in this movie and more along in this franchise overall, they could be successful. But that's something that was totally just disregarded throughout the rest of the movie and in Justice League. Now, apparently, based on what Pete has told me, Darkseid's going to be in the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, go watch a trailer.
So, you see
of Justice but, League.
I don't
right, but he's trailers. Not Darkseid yet. Whatever his name was before he was Darkseid. You DC nerds might
I
know.
I think
this.
That's one of the major issues. I mean, that is very obviously one of the biggest issues about this movie is that it is just trying far too hard to set up way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, they already messed up. Say they're doing like a Olympic event, right? They already ran into all the hurdles, broke their knee. This is their like a year later victory lap with no competitors because Marvel's already done. They're done. They already had their thing. This is like, come on, DC. I know you can do it. Come on, DC. And that's all this is. And that's why I love it. It's like
the Snyder Cut is, or what are we talking about right now?
The new Justice League.
Oh, okay.
4-hour miniseries.
We'll get that's to that in the next episode.
Sorry, yeah, but I just want to say this was their BBS was like, they were, you know, in this heated race with Marvel. All of a sudden, a bird landed and hit their face.
Much like Fabio on that roller coaster. Yeah.
Like a Fabio. The face. You know, that is a perfect analogy for this movie. It was a beautiful thing, like a Fabio. And,
yeah, if any of you haven't seen this video, just look up on YouTube, Goose Hits Fabio on Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is compared to the well-oiled machine that was the Marvel Cinematic Universe in comparison. Yeah.
Before we go tonight, I really do want to spend a few minutes comparing like a movie that's equivalent of BBS in the Marvel Universe, which would be Infinity War, I'm assuming, or some, or maybe, no, Avengers, the first Avengers. I mean, how about Age of Ultron?
Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron's closer, but
why? Because it's the worst.
We'll get back to that if you want. I don't want to diverge too far into discussing both DC and Marvel, but the comparisons are always going to be there. But yeah, so let's just dig into a few elements of the movie all together, and then before we round it out, let's discuss the story, the visuals, and then the biggest issues with this movie. Being the trying to set up things and maybe areas we think that they could have improved. So let's start with the story. Joe, you know more about the DC universe as far as like comic books and stuff than I do. What do you think about the story? In my opinion, it like we said before, pacing has always been an issue for Zack Snyder. In my opinion, this there's just too many plot points, too many subplots, all being tied together in this big convoluted mess. You have all the setting up the DC universe stuff. You have the Lex Luthor manipulation subplot. You have Batman trying to figure out if he, you know, about Superman stuff. Superman trying to deal with his identity crisis. All these things. Superman himself is either represented as this broody mess or a Jesus figure. There's no in between. There's no other real character development. Batman straight up murks people, like just doesn't even care, just kills them. And I can understand, like, if he's going for that iteration of the comic books again, you know more about that than I do, so you can explain that away. But so little is done to set up these characters, and it's hard to feel a lot for them, like Pete was saying. I do have to say I liked Ben Affleck as Batman. I thought he did a serviceable job.
Yeah.
He was a pretty suave Bruce Wayne. He was a pretty kick butt Batman. He's menacing. You wouldn't want to mess with him. I think that's a good. There's also even some detective work, a little bit, like kind of hinted at, not extensive, but there's a little bit of that in there. So for all intents and purposes, I think he was probably one of the better elements of this movie, in my opinion. his portrayal.
No, Batman was Ben Affleck. I thought he nailed it, especially from like a if you've read the Dark Knight Returns graphic novel, he really kind of nailed the essence of that type of Batman, that big brooding, I think you said murky type character. The only thing I wish I could have gotten a little bit more of from Ben Affleck's Batman was I know that, and it's like this, some of the problems with the writing is I want a little bit more of a backstory. How has he gotten here? You know, we see his, I think Snyder took for granted thinking that everyone's gone into this movie reading the comics, which they haven't. Not everyone has seen the Dark Knight trilogy. Some people are going just to see this DC universe and they haven't read all the material. I want to know a little bit more about why is Robin's suit hanging up. Not everyone knows about the Death in the Family comic. I think maybe a flashback in that scene would have helped that a little bit.
Maybe. The show Don't Tell, though, kind of was like maybe one of the few decent parts about that Batman, though. Like, if they wanted to start with a Batman like that without having built up to it, I think the way that they handled it was fine. I think where I do agree with you, though, Joe, is that there should have been just more of this world's Batman character developed in another movie. Mm-hmm. There just should have been more leading up to this film.
Yeah, and that's so, the struggle.
I 100% agree with you in that regard.
Had Matt Reeves, the Batman, been with Ben Affleck, which it's tough because of the actor's age, I think that would have added more context to Batman versus Superman, but we're not going to get that. And also too, one of my biggest issues within the story is the constant, and we talked about it a little bit, is the Superman being on trial. Like in the comic books, not everyone's always wondering about Superman's ethic and moral compass. You know, Superman is supposed to be saving planes, trains, and airplanes and people and being the good guy. We don't ever get that from Cavill's Superman, which is one of the biggest issues I have within this universe. And yeah, the story just, I struggle with the story. I struggle with the iterations of the DC characters. And then Wonder Woman just getting tossed in like a softball. I don't know. It just didn't work for me. I thought that she was a great version of Wonder Woman, but once again, it was just too quick. I guess you could argue, well, you're going to get context with that Wonder Woman with the Wonder Woman movie, mm-hmm. but still it didn't work for
that
me.
That comes afterwards,
yeah.
It's just a hot organizational mess.
yeah, I don't know. I struggle with it, but anyway, like I said, one of the best parts was the Batman Earth 2 nightmare. I thought that was cool. The parademons, Superman coming in, ripping Batman's cowl off. I thought that was awesome. One of the best parts of the story, I felt like, so take out all the other garbage and all the build up to the fight, I thought was cool. Like where Batman's going through the shipyard and mm-hmm. Superman finally lands on his Batmobile and then he rips the door off and he goes, "You're done. Don't do this anymore." And Batman goes, "Tell me, do you bleed?" And then he just flies off and he goes, "You will." I thought that was awesome. That kind of got me pumped up for that fight.
Great moments. There's some great moments. Great moments.
Yeah.
Literally, though, that's what it is. It's moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, that's all I'm going to talk about the story. I don't want to keep pounding on it. So
we can all agree the story is the weakest link of this movie.
I do have to say I like the idea of Lex Luthor manipulating Batman and Superman to fight each other. Like that feels very Lex Luthor thing, a very Lex Luthor thing to do. If only we had a good Lex Luthor to pull it off.
It's weird because it would have been good if Lex Luthor. I'm not much for making fun of people's bodies, but if you're doing a comic book movie, at least try to look like the character that you're playing. And Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah.
He looks nothing like any iteration. Deviation of Lex Luthor in comics, and cartoons, nothing. I don't know. Even at the end, when in the prison where he shaved his head, nothing about him radiated Lex Luthor. It looked like a some kind of a I like if he was his son or something, I would have bought that as fine. He just seemed like a sassy, spoiled scientist who never got his way and never saw a therapist. And that's also not enough of a driving factor for me. I'm guessing he kept hinting that his father abused him when he was younger. Okay. I don't know. Like, I still don't think
didn't he
that's.
straight up say that though to
Yeah, he said,
Superman? Yeah.
yeah, there is no God that saved me from daddy's fist or something. Yeah. When he said that, like, Superman should have been like, here's a therapist, like, hand him a card or something. I can't help you with this. To see a professional. But I just didn't think that was enough of a driving factor. So if I can't get behind the villain's motivations, then I can't. Anywho, I think.
Jesse Eisenberg playing Mark Zuckerberg playing Lex Luthor.
Yeah, basically, it's horrible. He was really good in those Now You See Me movies. Those are his kind of roles.
He was fantastic in Social
Yeah,
Network.
Social Network, these awkward, nerdy roles. He's not good at a super mind, scientific genius who rivals Superman. I just never, and that rivalry was never there. You know, because correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, Lex Luthor and Superman are like head to head
Rivals. Oh yeah.
rivals. They're
Yep.
head to head. They're
They're
always
Batman and
one.
Joker.
Yeah, exactly. They're always like one-upping each
Arch
other.
Nemesis. And intellectually,
Yeah.
Lex Luthor pretty much one-ups Superman through much of the comic books.
Exactly. He is the juggernaut,
He's
the
supposed to
mental
be
juggernaut.
menacing too.
Yes.
There's
Yeah.
nothing intimidating about, no offense, Jesse Eisenberg's portrayal.
Yeah, it was terrible casting.
What was worse, Kevin Spacey or Jesse
I'll
Eisenberg?
take Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I'll take Kevin Spacey too. Yeah, his
Yeah.
portrayal was
Actually, I will take
chaotic, but
crap, what's that guy's name from the first Superman movies? Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman. I will take Gene Hackman any day.
Oh, brother. His was like by Superman 4, it just got straight
It was bad. Oh,
comedic. Like, it
Superman 4 was absolute
was like,
garbage.
I'll get you next time, Superman. Or he's in like the
Yeah.
jail. I was like, what
What
is
about
this?
Michael Rosenbaum, the from Smallville?
I never saw
He
Superman,
was
so.
good. He was good.
Okay.
Yes, I've
I
seen
remember
Smallville.
watching some of Smallville in college and enjoyed parts of it. It
Yeah.
felt a bit too much like a CW show, but
It
like a more
was.
tasteful CW show, but
Just skip the first like 5 seasons and get through all the high school BS and then get to like the actual comic book stuff and it's good.
anyways, back to the movie.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry, that was abrupt. I just wanted to get this thought out before I forgot. Talking about Superman's great moments. Wait, take two. Talking about Batman's great moments in this movie, he has a few. Obviously, the warehouse scene. Debatably, the greatest hand-to-hand combat Batman film scene in history.
Very Arkham-ish, yes.
Very good. Like, I mean, up that for me as a non like Batman fanatic, I think that's Batman's finest fist like hand-to-hand combat scene in any movie, any Batman
On
movie.
the big screen.
On the big
I
screen,
agree.
yeah, any
Yeah, it
Batman
was
movie.
well executed.
So well executed.
Choreographed
A little gory,
shot.
a little violent, but especially when he like zip lines that crate into the dude's head. I was like, okay. I was like, all right, Batman.
He's straight up
Okay.
murking people,
Like
man.
that dude just died. But anywho, but real quick,
Final destination to that
yeah, basically, right at the end of that warehouse scene, I love that dude that tries to hit him when he like grabs him, stabs him into the wall, and walks up to him, gives him that Batman stare. Dude, I felt that in my soul because like Batfleck has that chin, that build, he's gigantic, and if he walked up to me in that suit and looked me in my eyes, I was like, ha ha, I'm dead. It was so good. That was that 5 seconds. Mwah. Another fantastic Batman scene was at the very end when Lex Luthor started like, the bells have been rung, ding, 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 ding.
In the prison, right?
Yeah, the prison at the end where all the lights shut off. And he's like, then he just all of a sudden he's there. And he like, he's his voice is perfect. We've talked about this, Joe. We've debated. I think his bat voice is the best. I still do after watching the Nolan trilogy. And listen, Joe, I'll extend you an olive branch.
No, you're good. You're
everything
good.
Else is better in the Nolan trilogy. Everything. Literally everything. Maybe except the fight scenes. But literally everything is better.
Except the voice. I get it.
Thank you. The voice modulator. It's not real voice. Yeah, I know. But that fits into Bruce Wayne's character. He's a super techie billionaire Batman dude. And it's perfectly within Batman's character to use a voice modulator, isn't it?
I think so.
Thank you. It makes sense to me.
I don't know of any iterations in the comics where he used a voice modulator. It was always just kind of like he kind of modulated his voice himself to like a deeper tone, but it's fine. I accept it.
I understand he's already a man of a thousand talents, a Da Vinci man, if not a Batman. However, he doesn't need to become a professional voice manipulator too. Like, just give the dude a break. Just let him use a tool to change his voice. He doesn't need to become a ventriloquist, you know, in a week to be able to manipulate his voice so perfectly. And I love the voice modulator, and it fit Affleck's voice so perfectly, you know, because we've seen Affleck in like funny, like comedy, drama, romance movies where he's just like this, like, you know, cute guy.
And I guess it worked too because he kind of did something with his voice in Daredevil, so that way it kind of differentiated it from those two roles.
Let's not talk about Daredevil. Anywho, let's go skim right through that. My camera is down, so I'm crying. That's why I shut it off. But anyways, I just wanted to say this: Batman vs. Superman had some fantastic Batman scenes, and if they would have kept it in that spirit, it would have been a much better movie.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
But do I love watching this movie? Yes. I'm just gonna say that right now before we end this. You know, if I had to choose between like one of the lesser, if we were to like rank all the Marvel movies and split them in the halves, if I had to choose between watching like a Marvel movie that was in like the bottom half of the best Marvel movies ever made versus this one, I would watch Batman versus Superman all day. Give me a random Marvel movie.
Would
like,
you watch this over Ragnarok?
Oh, we just finished Ragnarok. It depends on what kind of mood I am. Like right now, it's mid-November. Today was a really rainy day. Yes, I'd rather watch Batman versus Superman. but if it was like July and I just got done swimming, then yeah, probably.
Depends on how much time I want to spend watching something.
They're both pretty long. Ragnarok is a respectable 2 hour.
BVS.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, was BVS the movie where in the extended cut, Superman went up to the top of the mountain and talk to his father?
Yes.
With the drowning horse story?
Yes.
That, okay, real bro to bro talk here. I got teary eyed when I first saw that scene. I don't know if it's the acting of the guy that plays the father.
It goes along with Andrew said, this movie has great moments.
It has great moments. Dude, I got teary eyed when he was talking about, I can like quote that scene where he's like going like, you know, they call me a hero, gave me a cake. Can you hear the horses rounding all night or something? Dude, the way he was telling that story, you know, just, I don't know, it was just really sad. It was really sad, basically telling the struggle of how people view you versus how much good you can do versus, you know, accepting the inevitable of things will die, people will die. I think that was the whole point of that confrontation.
I will give it to Snyder. He doesn't really ever try to be Marvel or emulate Marvel.
That's
outside
for sure.
outside of just you know, trying to fit all the references in and setting up the cinematic universe. I will give that to DC. Until Justice League, they didn't really try to be like Marvel at all. For the most part, they still visually feel and look different. The story structure is different. It definitely doesn't feel like they fit a formula for the movies. Now, they might be able to benefit a little bit from having some checkboxes, mostly just to keep the universe cohesive and have a game plan so that doesn't end up like Star Wars has.
Well, the reason that people make fun of Marvel movies, I think, is because they on purposely, I think, make the movie more towards younger viewers. Like, they put in a lot more. Sure. They put in a lot more hoorah moments for their heroes.
They are more family friendly. They're more homogenized.
It's not only formulaic. That. It's not just that they put a lot of hoorah moments of their heroes. Like, look at, you know, Hawkeye shooting this guy without looking, you know, that kind of stuff. Like these, like, little cool 5 seconds.
I'd say that both series do that. They just do them in very different ways.
Yeah, and then
it's very lighthearted, very much lighter fare for Marvel. DC is tends to have those moments visually represented. Like you have the scene of Bruce Wayne's parents dying, but it's very, very comic booky in the way it's even set up. Like it's straight from a storyboard.
What if we did it, but in slow-mo?
Same with some of the fight scenes. It's very much feels like it was pulled right out of a comic book. Marvel is more carries the essence of like the comic book, like the feel in that it's more lighthearted, not as heavy in a lot of ways. Right. They both represent that side of the comic book scene just in different ways. And they both feel like they do their own thing. So they don't really feel like they copy each other. So I will give DC that.
Batfleck workout montage. That's all I'm going to say.
Dude, what a beefcake.
Dude, that workout montage you just threw in there in the middle of the movie. Like 2 minutes.
Pull that tire.
The chains and the pull-ups and the giant weights dropping.
Forget the Chris Hemsworth workouts. Check out Ben Affleck, man.
Ben Affleck would absolutely, if all the Marvel people were normal human beings with their body masses, Ben Affleck would crush them. All
Hella shows up and Batfleck's like, tell me, do you bleed?
Do you bleed? Asgardian.
And then she'd stab him.
It was great that they threw in that workout montage just for him to put on this overpowered suit and stab Superman with kryptonite.
But you gotta think it takes a lot of muscle to operate that overpowered suit. That probably weighs like 200 pounds. So there you go. Well, I mean, think. This is the whole point of this Snyder movie. You got to think, okay? You can't be just a mindless Marvel fan. What if you Iron Man? He's answered for the 17th time with rock music playing. You know,
Tony Stark's not exactly ripped, but his suit exoskeletons seem to work just fine.
Well, it's not like his suits are
fully robotic. No, I get it. I'm just teasing you.
I understand the difference. In the desert, in a cave, a bunch of scrap.
His suits on a farm!
His suits are straight up robots in and of themselves. The bat suit is really just like a powered exoskeleton. Yeah,
right. I was just needlessly.
And I think that Tony Stark is smarter than Batman.
It's basically power armor from Fallout.
Yeah, basically.
They're kind of the same.
You think they're the same? Well, in the movies, Tony Stark definitely seems smarter. It's like not even a contest.
We really haven't gotten a Batman movie yet that has showcased Batman's detective prowess.
His intellect.
Or his intelligence in general.
I think we're going to get that, though, with the Batman, just on a few things that I've seen. So
even in the Nolan trilogy, all you got was, does it come in black? And
he got a little bit. He did the ballistic scene in The Dark Knight where he was taking ballistics off of the shotgun shell. And
That was a good 90 second.
He took Selena Kyle's fingerprints off of the safe and the pearls. So there's a little bit.
Okay, and he refixed the autopilot.
Yes.
But that's off screen.
That's awesome.
I just didn't get enough of smart Batman in the old trilogy.
Well, guys, we don't want to make the same mistake Batman v Superman did and run too long.
How long have you been saving that joke, huh?
Honestly, just thought of it, and it's not really that.
And I thought my jokes are bad.
Well, guys, thanks for talking to us. We could talk about this movie for way longer than we did tonight. But you know what? We would like to know what you guys think, you listening to this podcast or watching it on Facebook when we decide to air it. So let us know on Facebook.com/IncredibleCritics, Twitter at 3CriticsPod, Instagram at IncredibleCritics. I guess we still use that. I don't know. We'll see. And make sure you leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know what you think. Guys, say goodbye to everybody.
Why'd you say that name?
Martha, save Martha!
Stop.
His mom's name is Martha.
So bad. Go to the YouTube video of that and you will see thousands of people defending that scene, like breakdown. Like, you don't understand. It's an emotional bonding. It brings back Superman down to a human level in eyes of Batman.
Go on YouTube and go to Comic-Con back in like 2000.
Oh my gosh, yes, that video.
Watch the video of that guy where he's taking this crappy cell phone video of the screen.
Uh-huh.
Doing like the first ever teaser trailer for PBS. And he sees Superman with like his red glowing eyes and he goes like, oh!
And it gets better, and then he sees Batman
and he just goes, whoa!
Those people deserve the new Justice League. That's what the
yes they
Justice League is. Okay,